Let's pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given to us testimony of Jesus and his significance. We thank you for his birth and his death, his resurrection, and one day his return. And we pray that as we turn to your word now in the book of Revelation, by your Spirit, you would strengthen us and equip us and encourage us. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, from tomorrow, all over the world, people will be opening little doors and finding all sorts of things behind them. The novelty advent calendar is a phenomenon which seems to have grown significantly in recent years. Amazon's top-selling ones this year include the Lego Friends advent calendar and the After 8 Big Ben advent calendar. The Daily Telegraph website this week had an article which began, "If you think advent calendars were just for children, think again." And it went on to describe what they suggest might be the world's most beautiful advent calendar. Available from Harrods, this limited edition of three Wedgwood porcelain advent house has 24 windows revealing each day a small crafted figure. And it will knock you back a cool £12,000. But what is the countdown all about? Well, of course, for millions, it is simply the number of days to Christmas and all the anticipated festivities. And yet for Christians, Advent, from the Latin adventus, meaning arrival or coming, there is another Advent that is being anticipated at this season. Not only do we think of the first arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that first Christmas in Bethlehem, but also his second advent, sometime in the future, unknown to all except God the Father, when his purpose will be fulfilled. Now, this final fulfillment of God's plan is spoken of by Jesus, as we heard in the Gospel reading from Luke 21, and pointed to in the last book of the Bible, the so-called book of Revelation. Now, we read this morning from the first few lines of this book, a book that has often been either ignored because it appears too difficult, too complex, too strange to get our heads around, or a book that has become an unhealthy obsession amongst a number of people who are fascinated by taking mysterious imagery and trying to interpret it in terms of current or future events, often making a number of serious mistakes in the process. But Advent is a good time to try to hear afresh something of the true message of the book of Revelation. And over most of the Sundays in Advent, we're planning to look at the opening chapter to hear God's word to us through it. So if you haven't done already, do turn to page 1235, 1235 there in the black Church Bibles. Now, Revelation is in many ways the climax of the New Testament. The order of the books in the New Testament has a logic to it. It begins with the story of Jesus and his life on earth in the four Gospels. Then comes the story of the early Christian churches in the Acts of the Apostles, and continues with 22 letters of instructions from the Apostles to churches in living out Jesus' good news. And it all ends with the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. So how can we learn from this book and hear God's message to us through it? Well, this morning, let's consider two realities. The first is that the book of Revelation celebrates God's victory. It celebrates God's victory. The book begins, verse 1, the revelation, literally the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Now, apocalypse is a word that was well known at the time. It means an unveiling, a revelation, as we might perhaps more often say. Now, this term is a clue at the very start to the style or genre of the book. Apocalypses were quite common in the first century, And they were writings full of highly symbolic and sometimes cryptic passages in a sort of a code which pointed forward to the future. So here, the revelation of Jesus Christ is, verse 1, to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. Now, the book is written to Christians who were under severe pressure, especially the great persecution under the pagan Roman Empire led by brutal tyrants like Emperor Nero. It would have been very easy for those early Christian churches, as a tiny minority facing prejudice and opposition, even martyrdom for belonging to Jesus, to feel that they had an unpromising future. How encouraging then for such people to be reminded that despite all appearances, they were in fact on the winning side. It might seem like God's enemy Satan was gaining ground and on course for victory, but in fact, God was the one who would win. Now, as we read through this moving book, we can see that there is a key difference about the Bible book of Revelation compared to the other apocalyptic books around at the time and just before John recorded these words. The usual apocalyptic books focused on a day to come when in the end, good would win over evil. In this book, the focus is on a victory that will be fully fulfilled in the future, but which has in fact already been won. So we come to see that what happened that first Easter was the victory that will secure the full victory of God at a time as yet unknown ahead of us. The great enemies of God and his people, symbolized in the book of Revelation variously as the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, are already in principle defeated. God's judgment on them has been passed. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God's victory, which will fully come in the future when Jesus returns, has already been won. So in each struggle that is recorded, each act of the drama as it's depicted in the book, God's side is victorious. God is the one who judges evil. God is the one who is triumphant. So John hears in chapter 19, verse 1, the loud voice of the great multitude in heaven crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just." And in words that have been sung by large numbers of people for over 200 years because of the music of Handel's Messiah, taken from chapter 19, verse 6 here in Revelation, "Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns." Jesus then is the blood-stained victor. Chapter 5, verse 5. "The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered." As one writer suggests, we can summarize the whole message of the book of Revelation in three words: the Lamb wins. So later in chapter 12, verse 9, we read, "And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God." So the enemy has been beaten. The war has been won, even if there are still skirmishes and apparent setbacks, because the fullness of victory is still to be experienced when Jesus returns in power and splendor, as we shall see later in chapter 1 of Revelation. Now, for the first recipients of this letter, this book, the Roman Empire was all-powerful and strongly opposed to them as Christians. Rome was the greatest empire the world had ever known, and its legions were invincible, having conquered and taken over huge amounts of territory. And yet Caesar was not really in charge. God was. And he is the victor who will ultimately triumph. Now, we may not be in the red-hot furnace of persecution like many of those who first heard this book read out to them, but we do face the challenges of increasing opposition from growing, often anti-Christian secularism. We do find ourselves facing pressures from people around us, people at work and so on. We do certainly have experiences of suffering and difficulty, even tragedy, that are hard for us. And we are all those who can be wearied in the ongoing spiritual battle that all believers are engaged in. How then do we need to be reminded of the victory that God has won through his Son in the past that will be fulfilled in the future when Jesus returns at his second advent? No wonder verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. So the book of Revelation celebrates the reality of God's victory. But also the book of Revelation is about Jesus and focuses on him. We've seen that the book opens, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it is an unveiling about Jesus and from Jesus. The book is, verse 1, what Jesus made known to John. And John tells us, verse 2, that what he sees and writes down is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. The victory that Revelation celebrates is the victory of the Lamb of God who died and rose again and who now reigns in heaven. As John Stott, the Christian writer and former chaplain to the Queen, put it, a beleaguered and persecuted church needs more than anything else, not a series of prophecies about the past or the future, nor even a coded panorama of church history, but a disclosure of the incomparable Christ, once crucified, now resurrected and reigning, and one day returning in power. And that's what we find in the book of Revelation. So whatever else we learn from this book, it should point us to him. It helps us to see Jesus in more of his greatness and encourages us to hold fast to him, knowing that he, the resurrected, victorious Lamb who was slain, is holding fast to us. Well, the countdown to Christmas is certainly beginning, recognised by many in the plethora of Advent calendars available today. And Christians are also aware that God has a timetable, a countdown, if you like, to the fulfilment of his promises and purposes. The book of Revelation reminds us that despite the challenges of life now, even though they can be significant and great, God's victory is real and it is to be celebrated. That which is revealed of the future, the things that must soon take place, is secure because of the past victory of Jesus, the Lamb who was slain and who now reigns in heaven. Knowing that the Lamb wins and that the ultimate fulfillment of this victory is in God's timetable ahead, even near, though we don't know exactly when, gives believers in Jesus great encouragement in the present. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know each of our lives. You know those things on our minds at this time, the challenges we face, the difficulties that we experience, the suffering that we're going through. But we thank you that the Lamb wins. We thank you for the victory of Jesus in his death and resurrection. And we thank you that one day that victory will be fully known by all people when he returns. And we pray that you would strengthen us in that faith in Jesus. And we ask for his sake. Amen.